Now we'll come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Tuesday, February 25th. Anderson, District 2.
Here.
Anderson, District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll.
No.
Amrick.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert,
here.
Hicks, Hines,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Nutting,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Ross,
here.
30 present.
Prayer by Pastor Whitman.
Let's pray. Father, you tell us that these leaders have been placed by you. And so for that, God, we give you great thanks. And I ask for each one of these senators that you would give them the perseverance today to press forward with the things that are set before them to accomplish the task that you have established. And God, that they would not grow weary in doing good, but they would continue to represent us in this state to accomplish the things that you have set out. We thank you, God, and give you this day in Christ's name. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 24th, 2014 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. The doctor of the day is Dr. Larry Kirvin from Buffalo. Doctor? And the nurse of the day is Connie Jacobson from Casper. Is she? Today in Wyoming history, 1925, the House Joint Memorial No. 4 was passed, memorializing the Congress of the United States to set aside Old Fort Laramie and Old Fort Bridger and Independence Rock as historic reserves. Quote of the day, whatever you do in life, surround yourself with smart people who will argue with you. John Wooden. Senator Anderson.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. President.
Yes.
Mr. President, I have two visitors from Casper here today. Rod and Doris Waddell are joining us. Doris is a retired principal from Casper, and Rod is a retired oil and gas and policeman. Please help me welcome them.
Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Members of the Senate, we also have with us today from Green River, the director of our Parks and Recs Department, Al Wilson. Would you help me welcome him to the Senate?
Welcome to the Senate. We have messages from the House.
February the 24th, 2014, from the House of Representatives, message number 6, Mr. President. The House has completed consideration of the budget bill, Senate File 1. Pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1, Senate File 1 is referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members from each House to meet and report recommended amendments for final consideration by both houses. With respect to the budget bills, Senate File 1, House Bill Number 1, and the amendments thereto, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
You guys need this back. We can do the budget bill first. Huh? What? Okay. House Budget Bill, report from Standing Committee, Appropriations Committee.
Your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, reviewed House Bill 1, pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1, little e, the following lists are provided. Dispensing with further reading, Senator Bebout, Chairman.
In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1F, House Bill 1, is referred directly to third reading. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President.
First? Do we have to read the bill first? House Bill 1, third reading of the bill. Dick.
House Bill 1, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, General Government Appropriations, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1, 2014 and ending June 30, 2016, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Now, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, we're going to walk you through the House amendments to the budget bill. You should have two things on your desk that were passed out yesterday. One are a list of all of the standing committee amendments, that the House adopted. And the other sheet is what we call our cheat sheet that has language about those. And I have double checked, and it's been triple checked, that the cheat sheet ties to the amendments. And I hope that that is the case. And, Mr. President, the way we will do this, we will work off the cheat sheet, which is a legal-sized document, and it's divided into three categories, and we'll explain them. One is identical amendments. I'll go through all of those just so you have an understanding of what we did that's identical. Then there are several that are almost identical. I think we would consider identical, but we'll explain those to you. And then the last portion will be those that really are not identical in the sense that we don't have anything from the Senate, but there are other Senate amendments that this body talked about relative to those. So with that, unless there are any questions, Mr. President, we'll start. And on your cheat sheet, the first amendment, I'll refer to the amendment is the second reading amendment number 7, the Stupson Amendment. It was identical to the Anderson Amendment. And it deletes footnote 1 and replaces with new language specifying expenditures of the board not exceed either appropriated funds or revenues of the board. This is for the mixed martial arts. The second one is second reading amendment number 8, Wildlife Trust Fund. It took out the footnote number 2, which required public access. The third one is 11, second reading 11, the Green Amendment. It was the add language for $150,000 general fund appropriation due effective immediately. This is the high bay facility over at the engineering college. The next one is 13. This is the BSL3 lab loan, and we make it effective immediately. We both did that. This is money that if they were to take a loan, it would come out of the reinsurance money funds that we have. 15 is the 15 amendment. Deals with the Senior Citizen Center. We'd already given them $500,000 in the JAC. This has added an additional $480,000, and this was the Kraft Amendment in the Senate. They're identical. Number 17,
This is a local government distribution. Senator Schiffer's amendment here was identical. What this did very quickly is it eliminated the population requirement for the second 40 million, and it went back to the tried and true formula that we debated extensively in this body, and the amount of money stays at 175. The next one is 2020, second reading amendment number 20. This is on the Aeronautics Commission. We had the co-amendment here. As you recall, we had the reversions, and the number we had was around 2.1 million. And that the JAC said that would revert. This eliminates that reversion, so it stays in the program. The next one is 28. This is the cultural resources. This is a $25,000 for the 125th anniversary, the Burns Amendment. That's the same. The next one is the 36, and this deals with the Tribal Triad Initiative. This was the Bebout Amendment in the Senate. This allows funding to go to that triad program out on the reservation up in Fremont County, and it's a good thing for the kids, but it's more importantly, it really gets people together to talk about serious issues relative to K-12 out there. The next one is the Teeters Amendment, Education Accountability. This adds a new section, continuing the Select Committee on Statewide Accountability, and provides a sunset and adds $35,000 from school foundation program. The next one is 44. This is the school facilities. This deals with security and safety, and it adds a select committee to receive that report. And we had the similar one in here, the Landon Amendment. The next one is the Miller Amendment. This clarifies the language on the map for our state. That was the Bebout Amendment over here. The next one is the Moniz Amendment. This deals with and also the Nicholas Amendment. It says we start looking at the top-tier science program and develop a plan and a report. The next one is 52, the Stupson Amendment. This deals with the collection agencies. If you recall in our budget, there was a surplus in there of 900. We put that into the State Department of Audit budget. This says that shall not be reflected in the next budget. It'll be in the general fund and it'll be a standard budget. Number 53 is the sale of the Poplar facility in Casper that is owned by the university. And if they sell it, then we authorize them to put that into their bonding insurance money. The next one is the Burkhardt Amendment 64, and this was the same as the Anderson District 2 Amendment that we profiled. We reduced the general fund by 250, and we put money into looking at glass and glass products to have a study in that arena, in that area. The next one is 66, the Kasparic Amendment. This is the one that we had the Von Flader Amendment here. This took the community colleges from $9 million, where the JAC position was, added $5.3 million, which took them clear up to the 14.3, which is their enrollment growth. And Mr. President, the last one is the Miller Amendment in the House and the Bebout over here, and this was the language that allowed the colleges for the smaller amount of money. It was around 22%. I think there were four colleges that if they wanted to start those programs, they could. And those are the ones that are identical, Mr. President. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Any Case? Questions? Hearing none?
Okay, Mr. President, I will continue. These are related. They're not totally identical, but there are some differences. The first one is if you look at the related, we go to the second reading amendment number 2 that failed, and the Petroff Amendment 29 did pass. And what they did is they added $600,000 to the already $900,000 we had given over and above their standard budget to the Department of Tourism, and the Senate was at $960,000. So the difference here is between $600,000 where the House is, $960,000 where the Senate is. The next amendment deals with the Frontier Days and to keep the Capitol open. It was the Emmerich Amendment over here. We had the money in it over here. They did not have the money over there. Quite frankly, if we're going to have it, we ought to have the money in it. So I think we should support the Emmerich Amendment in that case. The next one is the Stupson Amendment, second reading amendment number 6. We had some good discussion on this. This is where he wanted to take some of the reversions that would come back to the state auditor of $160,000 so they could have further analysis of enterprise resource planning. The discussion we had in the Senate was that why didn't that come to the JAC in the first place, and we had a resounding no on that one. I think Senator Landon remembers that one very well. He might have even changed his vote. I can't remember. The next one is the Goggles Amendment 14. This deals with the tribal liaison. The difference between the House and the Senate is we adopted the Schiffer Amendment to the extent that we put in the deliverables, but we eliminated the funding of the second year. The House put the funding back in the second year. The next one is 16. The both brothers had this amendment, and it passed in the House, failed in the Senate. This is the one that deals with $125,000 for the dementia disorders that we talked about over here. The next one is number 21, the Berger Amendment on the aeronautics. And it failed, and it was to increase the amount by $500,000. However, the Coe Amendment passed. putting $500,000 more in there over and above the $3 million we'd already done for the expanded budget. Number 22 is the Berger Amendment, and this, if you'll recall, there was a footnote that required that they shall have at least 1% of it involved if they're going to get the matching grant money, but it really in reality is 22%. And the Berger Amendment passed, as did the Von Flader, and there's a little bit of language difference, but that can be worked out. The next one is the House Second Reading Amendment number 33, the Green Amendment. This is early childhood. This is a significant difference between the House and the Senate. The House passed it. It's $1 million and to go into the grants and $75,000 for administering it. And we had the Rothfuss Amendment over here that did the same thing, and it failed. Turning the page, we start off with the Cheaters Amendment 39. This is school crisis management plans, and actually I'll deal with both of them, 39 and third reading amendment number 3. This was a Lannan amendment that failed in the Senate. What they did over there is they added the two FTEs that would be funded by federal funds out of Homeland Security and also $150,000 from the school foundation and made it effective immediately. Number 41 is, again, another Cheaters Amendment, and this was a co-amendment that failed in the Senate, and it added $250,000 of school foundation money effective immediately for purpose of carrying out recommendations of the Select Committee on Education Accountability, and, of course, this directed the state board to carry that out. The next one is 48. It's a Harshman Amendment. And in the Senate, we had the Perkins Amendment. This dealt with the courthouse security. And if you recall, we passed that bill on courthouse security that had a $10 million appropriation in it. What the Senate did is they removed the $3 million general fund money in that regard, the Perkins Amendment, and $3 million that was to be taken out of the SLIB money from federal mineral royalties and severance and went back to cities, towns, and counties. The House simply took the $3 million general fund out and left, still has a reduction in the SLIB funding to the tune of $3 million. The next one is 2061. This is the Harshman Amendment, similar to the Nicholas Amendment on the Business Council, and this is business-ready communities, and it deals with large projects and data centers. And what we did is we expanded the language to include loans as well as grants. There's a difference between the Senate version and the House version. The Senate version requires that there's a new subsection that the governor needs to approve in advance before these projects move forward. The House did not do that. The next amendment is the Freeman Amendment that failed in the House. That's 2065. And we had the Emmerich Amendment that passed in the Senate, and this adds $330,000 of foundation money and the footnote establishing the adjunct professor loan repayment program. The House defeated it. The Senate passed it. The next one we have are a combination of Harshman Bebout amendments. These are all technical corrections, and there's a little difference, but it's only because of timing, and that will be resolved. They're pretty much identical. And the only thing to be sure you understand, members of the Senate, you see a negative $4.1 million S5. That negative $4.1 million S5 is we have a continuing balancing agreement, or not an agreement, but a situation we have to do with a school foundation plan based on an enrollment. If you recall the original budget bill, that was about $53 million adjustment on enrollment and recapturing those things. This is a further adjustment of that. The next amendment we have is third reading amendment number 17, the Green Amendment. And what this does, it essentially agrees with the House position where we had the, I believe it was a Scott Amendment, to eliminate the patient management organizations, the PMOs. Essentially, the House and the Senate now have agreed that they will keep those in place. The Brown Amendment 78, Mr. President, what they did here, and if you recall what we had in the GAC's original budget bill, we had two provisions in there for to look at in trying to increase the enrollment for the university. One of them was a $2.5 million incentive if they in fact increased enrollment. The other part of that was if they didn't, they would lose $2.5 million out of their block grant. We had the Rothfuss Amendment in the Senate that eliminated the $2.5 million we would take away if they didn't have any kind of enrollment numbers that we put out there, but left the $2.5 million in place for the other side of it. The House simply eliminated both of them. I'm sorry, I got that backwards. We have the $2.5 million in the Senate. The House took them both out. No, I said that right. The next one is the Barlow Amendment, and this is on the statewide health information exchange. It failed in the House, but we had the Peterson Amendment that passed in the Senate. Members of the Senate, this is $1 million for the implementation of a statewide health information exchange. And this has been going on for a while with certain hospitals in the state that have signed on to this. They've been spending their own money for a while. They use some ARRA funds, and this would be the first time that they've come to the state and asked for money. The next one is the third reading amendment number 7, the Gingrey Amendment. This deals with the same as the Peterson Amendment. Talked about the Social Security number for tracking purposes. They're nearly identical, and we should be able to work out those differences. The next one is third reading amendment number 15, the Larson Amendment. This is the one that it passed in the House and failed in the Senate, and it allowed payments to preschool providers to reduce and vent their insufficient legislative appropriations. And what we did, of course, in that area, this is language we had last year in the previous budget cycle. And if you ran out of money, we just said we had to balance it and reduce it proportionately. The next one is third reading amendment number 26, the Crone Amendment. It failed in the House, but the Scott Amendment did pass in the Senate. And this is a big one, members of the Senate. This is $20 million of general fund to endowment challenge programs. $10 million goes to the community colleges and $10 million to the University of Wyoming. And real quick, like, just to give you an idea where we are on these endowments with this, the Scott Amendment passing and the one failing in the House right now, and I'll get to that when I get to the Brown Amendment a little bit later. The next one is the Connolly Amendment 32. And this is the ALML funds, the redirection, prior authorizations. It passed in the House, failed in the Senate. I think Senator Rothfuss got beat up pretty good on that one. And this takes redirects money from the CO2 sequestration for academic program. This is the AL money, and it puts it in College of Arts and Sciences and other things. And it was a redirection of AML funds. A lot of concerns in the Senate about that. Next one is 34, the Barlow Amendment. This is a big one. This is where we had the Rothfuss Amendment in the Senate. It was defeated on, I believe, we had a roll call vote on that. They had a voice vote in the House. This adds a new section for purposes of acquiring a Medicaid expansion waiver. And the last one we had on that page, we move to the last page. The budget. Oh, yeah, 39, I'm sorry, excuse me. That's the Madden Amendment. That was dealt with the employee compensation. It failed in the House. The Bebout Amendment passed in the Senate, and what this does, essentially, members of the Senate, it took the retirement component, and it said that the state employees would have skin in the game, and they would pay their share, and then we compensated them more in their salaries, so it was revenue neutral. That passed in the Senate, and it failed in the House. On to the last page, the Harshman Amendment, which gets into the SIPA account. And he had one previously that was in there that they defeated, and this was the ultimate one that they came with. And what they did with the SIPA account, and this is for 214 and 215. I want everybody to understand that. It puts $70 million into it this year, and that would be used, 25 money would be for earmarked for economic development loans, and $45 million to state facilities construction account. That's for our institutions like the WLRC, the state hospital, and those various state institutions, and $35 million in the governor's budget request, and that would be in the second year, as well as an additional $35 million to state facilities. So they did $140 million, $70 million in 2014, $70 million in 2015. We'll get to what the Senate did, and you may recall the Senate, and I can explain that right now. The Senate did 45 and 45. That's the Nicholas Amendment, 45 and 45, 45 this year, 45 next year, of which 25 went to economic development loans, and $20 million went to the construction of state institutions. In the second year, the money was not, there was no indication of how it should be spent. One of the things that the House did that I don't think we're going to go along with is that they directed the governor what to do, and, of course, the governor is going to report and do what he wants to do, so I don't think that amendment makes any sense, that language. We'll take that out. Number 45, the Harshman Amendment. This is value-added energy industrial plan. This is the what we call the roll-up of all the various initiatives that's in the governor's office. As I recall, this included the LNG, liquid natural gas. It included coal ports, included international trade. It also included the ITC, which is the Integrated Test Center, and to be able to move that forward. Some call it the prize, where there's $10 million out there available for people to if they qualify, to get that, and then they proceed to do a bolt-on technology for CO2. And it's a very exciting program, and the language on that, it's very similar. What we need to do is there's an issue on the effective date, and the JAC had an effective date that the legislature during this budget would approve it. The language went on further and said it would be require another vote, so we're going to try to come up with some similar language and then also some sideboards. So we're close there, and I think we can work that out. The next one is 47, the Green Amendment. And this is modifies footnote number 2 related to the father factor. The Green Amendment failed. The Peterson Amendment passed. Actually, Senator Peterson was on a roll that day. I think everything he brought up, he succeeded in. The next one is the Locks Amendment 3050, which failed. But the Landon Amendment did pass, and this adds $60,000 of school foundation money for CPR training. And those are the ones that appear to be identical that we can work out the differences on. Any questions on any of those particular amendments?
Any questions? Continue.
Okay, Mr. President, the last batch are those that are really different. Now, this doesn't mean that we didn't have similar ones in the Senate, but they're different enough that they wouldn't qualify, and so they'll be acted on independently. The first one is the 2019, the Miller Amendment. This is the Community College Commission relative to public television. This was a governor's request. The JAC denied it. This puts it back in. It's $110,000 for Native American online education programs through Wyoming Public TV. The next one is the Semlich Amendment 23 and actually 2070. They go together. And what he did, he changed the date on this report that we have to have on the Department of Ag Analytical Services Lab for Interstate Shipments of State Inspected Meat. He changed it from November to September. That probably makes sense, but he removed it from the Business Council to the Department of Ag, and there's some discussion we should have on that, if that's a good idea or not. The next two are the Gingrey Amendments. 25 is behavioral health, and this was a footnote that we put in during the JAC round robin, and it takes $500,000 from mental health outpatient care to transitional beds and residential treatment. It's a big issue in a lot of our counties, and it was an amendment that the JAC thought made sense to try to help those facilities. They're so underfunded. The next one is 26, the Gingrey Amendment that deleted footnote number 12, which was a payment of last resort for mental health services. We felt it should be a payment of last resort. That's why we had it in there, and he deleted that. The next one is a Greer Amendment number 30, and this is a footnote requiring a report. Probably okay. It deals with community colleges and University of Wyoming. The next one is the Green Amendment 2040,
on behavioral health, and this is an interesting one, and my colleague for Fremont County needs to pay close attention to this one. You know, right now, as I understand the ratio at the WLRC, it's about 4.6 to 1, that being the number of people providing the services to those who receive the services. And he comes in and says 3.85. I'm not sure where he came up with that number. Maybe he looked at some national averages. That's a tough one to try to dictate what we're doing there. You know, the Department of Health is working on that. They're making progress. You know, we try to throw a number out there. I'm not sure that's a good idea. The next one is the Summers Amendment, number 56. This directs on the Health Facilities Task Force. This is a Senator Dockstader amendment in the JAC bill, and he just wants all communities that they will meet in all communities with state institutions. You know, we need to clarify that, only health institutions. We don't need to be going to the prison to talk about a health task force. The next one, Mr. President, is a Kirkbride Amendment, number 2058A, second reading amendment number 58. This involves the BRCs under the Wyoming Business Council, and you recall we had in the budget bill, we had the footnote in there that said half of the money that goes out would come back to the BRC and be utilized again. And that was, in fact, deleted in the Senate as well, and this deletes it in the House version. We do have one other Senate amendment in there that still is on board. That's a Meyer amendment to put some sideboards on how we move forward. It's a good idea, and we'll probably try to hold that one. The next one, Mr. President, deals with the endowments, and I mentioned earlier the $20 million, the Scott Amendment that went to 10 and 10 to the university, 10 to the community colleges. This is the House's response to more money being spent on endowments. They added $5 million for matching grant endowment. And so what this does, Mr. President, is with this in there, with this $5 million in there, the House already has, and the Senate does too, in the Joint Appropriations Committee bill, there's $5 million available through the College of Engineering for a matching grant for an endowed chair for petroleum engineering. So you have that $5 million that's already in the budget, and you have this $5 million additional money that the House has put in. On the other side, you have the $20 million that the Senate put in, $10 million to the colleges, $10 million to the community colleges. So we're going to have to work out a balance there. And the other thing to remember, too, Mr. President, is there's another amendment that went in there. I think it's the Nicholas Bebout Amendment that puts $2.5 million money in terms of a matching grant to the university for literacy. We go on to the third reading amendment, number 9, the Gingrey Amendment. This is the TFOs, Task Force Officers. Big difference between the House and the Senate. The Senate, as I recall, did not have, right, Don? I don't believe we had a Senate amendment to put the money back in, but the House put that money back in, $1.2 million general fund. And the discussion in the JAC meeting, we talked about it on Committee of the Whole, was, you know, these positions have been funded by R, and now they're coming back for general fund money. The next one is the Gingrey Amendment number 10, third reading amendment number 10. And as best we can tell on this one, he requires a public health laboratory to pay travel costs for personnel available for DUI trials, and this is we think this means that the counties had been paying this and that the public health laboratories would pay it instead of the counties. We've got to have some more discussion on that one. The next one is the Teeters Amendment, third reading amendment number 14. Actually, this is a pretty good amendment in my opinion, Mr. President. There's a lot of discussion about Common Core and what's going on. This simply says that, you know, the State Board of Education would not expend funds to review student content and performance standards in science, and we prohibit the State Board for doing that. Mr. President, third reading amendment number 19, the Freeman Amendment. You all remember and understand that we can authorize buildings for our community colleges. It doesn't necessarily mean that we fund them, and once they're authorized, they're on the road to do what they want to do. What the House did is they authorized the Western Wyoming College Institutional Tech and Digital Education Building, but they didn't put an amount in there. My colleague from Sweetwater County has provided me with that amount, so we know what the money is. I think we've got to put the amount in there and see where that goes. Third reading amendment number 20, the Greer Amendment. This is one that they took the Community Facilities Grant Program from being used in traditional business council activities, the BRC, and say, no, you can only use it for community facility centers or large projects. The next amendment is the Gingrey Amendment, third reading amendment number 25. And this limits the statewide number of group home beds to 2,012 levels rather than the number of beds within each facility. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to allow to change it in terms of the way we do it rather than statewide and do it by facility. The next one is the, the Gingrey Amendment, third reading amendment number 27. And what this is, it limits residential facilities which increase capacity beyond certification levels noted in footnote from receiving state funds. Evidently, there's a private sector out there that wants to be able to do this. They don't get state money, but the language prohibits them from growing, and they want to be able to see if they can grow a little bit. No state funds. The Harvey Amendment, third reading amendment number 28, sets up $20,000 of general fund money to have a training conference for DD Medicaid waiver benefits. The third reading amendment number 40 is a budget balancer. The Senate chose not to do this. I explained to you the other day the 18-4 they redistributed and balanced, whereas the Senate did none of that. What they did is they took $5 million away from Water Development Account 3, $5 million away from the School Foundation Reserve Account, $8.4 million from the School Facilities Reserve Account, and then there was a common denominator on the House Bill 51, which is Fireman A, a reduction of $3.4 million. So they in fact reduced the $18.4 million by going into these other accounts and move it. The Senate did not do that. And Mr. President, the last one, third reading amendment number 42, Representative Semlich's amendment, our colleague from northeastern Wyoming should pay close attention to this one. As you recall, we put in there that for the $4 million for the beetle mitigation would come from the fire suppression account, but the governor would have the latitude. This essentially says that they will spend that money first, and then it'll be a higher priority. Mr. President, I hope I didn't miss anything.
Glad
to answer any questions.
Discussion? Senator Rothfuss.
Thanks, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd just like to ask the Vice President, if we could get the same chart for our amendments, in other words, what would effectively be page 4, while we're all familiar with it, I think it would be handy to have in this format for the body so that we can look at it and kind of understand where things line up relative to the House position, if that makes sense, Mr. President.
Mr. President, we have it. It's available.
Yeah.
It'll be on your desk in 5 minutes, 10 minutes. We figured that, you know, you already have this, Mr. President, in the amendments that we passed that's given. We didn't think you need another one, but we'll be glad to get you another one.
Any further discussion? Thank you, Mr. Vice President. There being no further discussion on House Bill 1, in accordance with Joint Rule 14-1G and Joint Rule 14-1H, House Bill 1 is referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members from each House to meet to resolve the differences between the Houses with respect to both Budget Senate File 1 and House Bill 1. Conference Committee for Budget Bills, Bebout Chairman, Perkins, Meyer, Dockstader, and Hastert. House bills on first reading. House Bill 102, first reading the House bill.
House Bill number 102, sponsored by Representative Stubson, Sage Grouse Implementation Team, and Act relating to the administration of government. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1.
House Bill 102 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 123, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 123, sponsored by the Management Council, Unified Administrative Code and Database, an act relating to administrative procedure. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 123 is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. House Bill 146, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 146, sponsored by Representative Somers, Study of State Human Resource Position, an act relating to the administration of government. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 45, no 14, excused 1.
House Bill 146 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 155, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 155, sponsored by Representative Baker, Electronic Citation Fees, an act relating to criminal court case fees. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 54, noes 5, excused 1.
House Bill 155 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 169, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 169, sponsored by Representative Davidson, Medicaid Waiver Program's Case Management System, an act relating to Medicaid waiver programs. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 56, noes 3, excused 1.
House Bill 169 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 178, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 178, sponsored by Representative B. Nicholas, Computer Trespass, an act relating to offenses against computer property. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1.
House Bill 178 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Diana, where's the list of, I'm going to think about changing this one. House Bill 106, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 106, sponsored by Representative Mooney's, County Fireworks Bans, an act relating to counties. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 54, noes 5, excused 1.
House Bill 106 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. House Bill 11, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 11, sponsored by the Judiciary, Controlled Substances, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substance Act. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 11 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 19, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 19, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Notary Fees, an act relating to notaries. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 43, noes 15, excused 1, conflict 1.
House Bill 19 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 21, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 21, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, Property Tax Exemption Charity, an act relating to taxation and revenue. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 21 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. House Bill 37, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 37, Revisor's Bill, sponsored by the Management Council, and act relating to revision of inadvertent errors. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 37 is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. House Bill 42, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 42, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, School Facilities Appropriations, and Act Relating to School Facility Projects. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 72, no 7, excused 1.
House Bill 42 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 61, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 61, sponsored by Representative Gere, Failure to Extinguish or Contain Fire, and Act Relating to Crimes and Offenses. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 61 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 72, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 72, sponsored by the Select Water Committee, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, and Act Relating to Water Development Projects. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 72 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 73, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 73, sponsored by Representative Filer, Persons with Disabilities, and Act Relating to Persons with Disabilities. Pass the House amended on third reading, ayes 56, noes 3, excused 1.
House Bill 73 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 76, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 76, sponsored by Representative Coker, Property Forfeitures and Seizures, and Act Relating to Forfeitures and Seizures. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 76 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 86, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 86, sponsored by Representative Summers, Rural Health Care Districts Authority, and Act Relating to Special Rural Health Care Districts. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 86 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 88, first reading of House Bill.
House Bill Number 88, sponsored by Representative Throne, Post-Dated Checks, an Act Relating to the Uniform Consumer Credit Code. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 31, noes 28, excused 1.
House Bill 88 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 95, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 95, sponsored by Representative Harvey, Diabetes Care Planning, an Act Relating to Public Health. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 46, noes 13, excused 1.
House Bill 95 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. House Bill 98, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 98, sponsored by Representative Patton, State Investment Services, an Act Relating to State Investment. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 98 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 104, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 104, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Education, Release of Student Information, and Act Relating to Student Information. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 104 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports from standing committees.
February the 25th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 38, Engrossed Taxidermy Licenses, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Kraft, and Driscoll. No, Senator Burns, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 25th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 25, Engrossed, Funeral Service Practitioners Act, reports back with a favorable, with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott. No, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 25th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 32, Engrossed Snowmobile Permit and Registration Fees, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, Kraft, and Driscoll. No, Senator Christensen, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 25th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 96, Professional Assistant Programs, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman. February the 24th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 24, Engrossed Registration Fees, House Trailers, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Escobel, Von Fladeren. No, Senators Landon and Schiffer, Senator Von Fladeren, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. House Bill 2, second reading of the House Bill.
Bonded Indebtedness Mill Levy Supplement.
House Bill 2, having been read 2 separate times, a question? Excuse me. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I apologize for holding the body up, but this particular bill had a question I wanted to follow up real quickly and point out that in your trays you should have some information on the historical payments in this bonded indebtedness mill levy supplement program. That was a question by our vice president. I also wanted to point out, fellow senators, that on your goldenrod, if you'd like to know where that used to track in, that was the other question. It was underneath the capital construction, underneath the appropriations subsection, Mr. President. That's where it used to track in. But this gives you an idea of the life of the program. And as I pointed out yesterday, it just becomes an obsolete law. So thank you, Mr. President.
House Bill 2, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 4, first reading of the House Bill, or second reading of the House Bill.
Pest Control Compact.
House Bill 4, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 10, second reading of the House Bill.
Water Well Permits.
House Bill 10, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 40, second reading of the House Bill.
State Employees and Officials Group Insurance Membership.
House Bill 40, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 41, second reading of the House bill.
Emergency Medical Technician Pension Plan.
House Bill 41, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 83, second reading of the House bill.
Insurance coverage of inherited enzymatic disorders.
House Bill 83, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage. Do you have a consent list? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I'm helping my colleague. He can't find his papers. What's more important?
Senator Driscoll.
I'll save him a little bit. Fellow senators, please join me in welcoming the esteemed mayor of the great town of Sundance, Paul Brooks.
Welcome to the Senate. Now, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, I do have a consent list. I have moved the following third reading consent list. Senate File 11, Appropriation for the Legislature. Senate File 30, Compensation for Persons Exonerated Based on DNA Evidence. Senate File 80, Real Estate Licensure Revisions. Senate File 91, Digital Information Privacy Task Force. Senate File 96, Workforce Services Independent Contractor, sub number 1. Senate File 13, Task Force on Expansion of Natural Gas.
113.
That's what I meant, Senate File 113. Senate File 117, Summary Probate Proceedings.
Would any member of the Senate like any of the consent list bills removed from the consent list? Hearing none, Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Stockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll. Emmerich, Esquibel, Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 11, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 11, 30 ayes. Senate File 30, are there any changes? Anderson District 28, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Closing. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 30, 26 ayes, 4 noes. Senate File 80, are there any changes? Burns, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 80, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 91, are there any changes? Perkins, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote to close. Senate File 91, 25 ayes, 5 noes. Senate File 96, are there any changes? Hastert, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. Esquivel, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote to close. Senate File 96, 26 ayes, 4 noes. Senate File 113, are there any changes? Burns, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Von Flateren, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote to close. Senate File 113, 25 ayes, 5 noes. Senate File 117, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote to close. Senate File 117, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elect to the Senate, following Senate files have passed the Senate. Senate File 11, Appropriation for the Legislature. Senate File 30, Compensation for Persons Exonerated Based on DNA Evidence. Senate File 80, Real Estate Licensure Revisions. Senate File 91, Digital Information Privacy Task Force. Senate File 96, Workforce Services, Independent Contractors, Substitute Bill Number 1. Senate File 113, Task Force on Expansion of Natural Gas Service. And Senate File 117, Summary Probate Proceedings have passed the Senate. Senate File 39, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 39, sponsored by Senator Christensen, Grand Teton National Park, transfer of state land, an act relating to state land, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have some amendments.
We do.
Reading clerk will read in third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 39.
Senate File 39, third reading amendment number 1 to corrected copy, page 2, line 17.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, I move Senate File 39, third reading amendment number 1. And to the body, the members, third reading amendment number 1 here is to do some changes on page 2, line 17 of the Nicholas second reading amendment. To, on this line, delete methodology and insert criteria. And then on page 3, after line 5, delete the Nicholas second reading amendment to this from line 5 on. Members of the Senate, the first part of this amendment is fine. It adds strength to the bill. I want to thank our majority floor leader and vice president. The second part of the amendment on page 3 is meant to kill the bill. It's a poison pill. Whether you voted up or down, yesterday's amendment was one that this body didn't have time to review, and it was language that made this entire land exchange unworkable. Members of the Senate, the second part of the amendment requires us to trade for only producing established minerals. That is a bad idea that won't work. It cannot occur. Even if we could accomplish that, it is fraught with limitations that harm the state. First, we can only collect 12.5% royalty, that's the federal rate, on mineral production because of the existing federal lease transfer, versus 16 2/3, which is Wyoming's royalty rate occurring after the trade if we do the development. And we keep 100% of that 16 2/3. Trading for existing production also deprives the state of receiving a lease bonus payment on new mineral leases. The state has obtained lease bonus payments of up to $2,000 per acre. If you do the math, under the second portion of the amendment that requires a 13% discount rate over 5 years, the Senate expects the federal government to transfer to Wyoming existing mineral production that would yield $260 million in revenue in exchange for our land currently appraised at $91 million. There is no way that anyone, even a federal bureaucrat, who's going to horse trade, that they could pony up $260 million for a $91 million asset. From the get-go, this amendment is designed to kill the trade. And when we in this body want federal lands transferred into state ownership, why do we set a precedent of a poison pill?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment. Folks, let's do the math. And let me remind you that it wasn't too many years ago that we approved a $5 million sale of property in Teton County. Developer buys it for $5 million, turns it over in a few short months for $45 million. Now think about what's happening. We have a property that was told to us, and we've seen appraisals that is worth close to $100 million. And if you look over on the page of the bill on page 2, lines 16 through 17, all that's required for the advocates for this exchange for three parcels. By the way, have you even seen any effort by anybody to suggest that these three parcels are even worth anywhere close to $100 million? Have we been shown anything that are even reflective? We see circles on a couple of areas in a map, and maybe they have minerals, maybe they don't. But all they say is that you have to exchange parcels value for value. So for those of you, when was the last time you saw somebody go with $100 million go out and buy a parcel of land for $100 million in Wyoming? Now let's do the math that was just talked about. You have $100 million. And what would it take to replace that $100 million? Well, if it's a federal producing acreage, we're already entitled to one half of the 12.5%. So you got $100 million. If you took our half of a royalty issue, divide that $100 million, you would have to have revenues off that parcel of $15 billion in order to recover $100 million. And what you can see here, folks are saying, well, let's just guess how much oil and gas might be there, and if you've got $100 million of gas, that's fine. Maybe we've got a straight exchange. That would be allowed underneath the White bill. But that's not a fair exchange, because we're not going to get 100 cents on every BTU that comes out of there. At most, we're going to get 16%. Even if you took 16% and divided it into 100 million to figure out how much production cash you're going to have, you're probably into the 10 to 15 billion dollars of revenue to get there, and it's going to take time to get that out. It's not going to happen overnight. We're certainly not going to drill it. So for a third party to come in and drill it and pay you 16%, it's going to take many, many years to get back our $100 million. Well, folks, I can see the value of that land in Teton County. It's been a wonderful investment. And oftentimes we're seeing a 1% increase in land per month in Jackson. So you're saying give you a deposit of gas that we don't know how much is in it underneath a parcel that maybe you can get out and forego the value increase that you would get for the schools in the real estate. And all along, if it takes us, say, let's suppose it takes us 20 years to get that $15 billion of gas out of there. Well, that real estate would have increased in value along that 15 years. And so you've got to put a discount factor pretty substantial. And my colleague from Teton County knows well that there are many years where we have increases in value in Teton County at the rate of 1% a month. Here we are sitting on a $100 million piece of property for the school lands that has been there since statehood. That's a pretty decent investment. And the sponsors of this bill say, give up that investment and the potential that it might double in value in the next 10 years for a pig and a poke. They don't know how much gas is there. They don't know if you'll ever be able to extract the gas or who will extract the gas. And there's no parameters directing the SLIB board how to go about evaluating that exchange. When we sit down and say, look, let's just look at the way that a businessman would look at it, they say, well, that'll kill the deal. Folks, if it kills the deal, that's because no businessman would do this transaction. I'd urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would urge the body to vote no. And just from a little different perspective, and I heard my colleague from Teton County say this is a way to kill this. That's not at all what this is all about. And I'll come at you from a different direction. It just puts yourself in a position that there's a piece of property out there that the minerals are owned by the state, but it hasn't been developed. So those minerals have value, but you don't know what that value is, and you're betting on the come. So why would you trade a known value for something that you don't know what the value may be? And what this amendment says, if you're going to trade for minerals, and it's a value of $100 million, you ought to get the same kind of cash flow out of the minerals that are producing and have proved developed reserves. So if you give $100 million of value to the feds, then you go out there and get a federal producing unit where they receive their 12.5% royalty. Now, you've got to be careful because we don't want to count our half of that half in this equation. So we look at their half of that royalty. Half of that royalty develops and kicks out cash flow every month. What this says is that you will have a way of evaluating that money in terms of real dollars so that you take a $100 million asset, you trade it for production that's coming now, it's proven, and in the future over a period of time, and you discount it at 12%, you know, talk about the discount rate, talk about that, but you're getting real value for your land in terms of money. Now, this doesn't preclude them from not going the route of a minerals exchange, but if you're going to do it for minerals, you ought to do it for proved, developed minerals that are producing and generating cash flow, not betting on the come.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment, Mr. President, you can go either way you want on should we have proven minerals or should we bet on the come a little bit and get a larger group of unproven minerals. That's not my point. What I look at, though, is I look at the amendment's been deleted, and it says using a discount rate of at least 13% over no more than 5 years. 13% is a monstrous discount rate. You know, we're talking compound interest here. And you discounted it at 13%, you're putting very little value on stuff that's only 5 years out. Used to be, Mr. President, good practice was to use 10%. That's when interest rates and investment earnings were a lot higher than they are now. I think the 13% does make this a poison pill. I think 6 to 8% in terms of discounting to net present value, which is a reasonable approach of the stream you're expected to get off the mineral properties, 6 to 8% might be reasonable. 13%, Mr. President, looks to me like a killer.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thanks, Mr. President. Without really weighing in on the amendment, I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. The first is that it would be $1.5 billion at the figures, not $15 billion in terms of the total value of revenue that would have to come in at a 6% rate to offset the $100 million. The other thing I'd like to point out to the body is that when you're looking at net present value, you also have to discount that by an inflationary index to be accurate. So you've got a concept where the land and the value of the minerals themselves looking out into the future is also going to appreciate an inflationary index. So just consider those two as you weigh on this and on an ambiguous on the amendment.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment, these figures we're talking about are all hypothetical. This is like saying that you own a property and you think it's worth $100 million, but it's producing no income. The income from this parcel, this stranded parcel we have in the park, is an ag revenue that we get off that. And by constitution, we're supposed to maximize the income to the school districts. This does not maximize it by keeping it. But if we trade it for minerals that are a possibility of producing income, our income could increase a lot. So it's interesting also that the senator from Riverton would like to have proven assets, proven natural gas when he's a wildcatter, and usually wildcatters make more money than the proven ones do, as we have proof by the Jonah Field. They make a little more money. So I think we ought to take a chance on this and try to make a deal that we can get an income-producing property rather than a scenic property. And so for that, I'd like to have you give this considerable consideration.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, there's a couple things that I question about this, and I'd like to support the amendment. One thing is, the value of the land. You know, it sounds good that it's worth that much in an appraised situation, but I actually don't think it's possible to develop that land. I mean, I think there would be enormous obstacles to try to realize that value. And one of them, I understand, is kind of landlocked, and the other one probably not. But, I mean, we would have everybody against us if we actually tried to bring this to fruition by auctioning it and someone to try to do something with it in some development way. I mean, I just see that as being enormously difficult, and that would work against the price. The other thing, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, is about to just look at a flow of minerals for 5 years and then discount it at 13%, that's an awful huge penalty. I mean, we, excuse me, haven't had the best week on health-wise, Mr. President. I should talk to the doctor today. But, you really have to have a lot of mineral revenues coming in very fast in order for it to work under 13% for 5 years. And I just don't think that's very realistic. I think we need to look at long-term investments, which is what our school trust fund is based on, providing for our kids in the long, long, long term. 13% is a very excessive discount rate. I'd suggest even half of that. And I don't see why we would ever think about limiting our time horizon to 5 years. So I support the amendment, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, we've got to realize that minerals are iffy at best. If you're looking at standard discount rates like you're buying commercial property or ag land, that the discount rate my banker gave me the other day was 7%. But minerals, if I went in there and said I want to go do some wildcatting on some place where I'm pretty darn sure there's some oil, like in the Niobrara, where we actually haven't hit a well yet, and tens or hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent on drilling and billions of dollars have been spent on leases and there's no proven production. And we're asking to say, okay, we're going to trade this Teton land that's not going to go down in value for, a what if, you know. Now, if they're trading this for proven production in the Bakken or proven production out in Converse County, and it's a hole, and it's been there, and you know it's going to produce for 20 years, and you know you're going to get your money out of it. That's one thing, but I don't think that's what this is doing. I think you need to be safe. Without a huge discount rate to protect the state, protect the school children, then I think that we're probably moving too fast on this, and we need a lot more discussion about really, how do you appraise the worth of minerals? I'm not an expert on it, but I'd rather be safe than sorry, Mr. President.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, on and for the amendment. I think we've gone down a whole bunch of different paths. And, you know, we're talking about what-ifs on a huge deal. we're circumventing our electeds, which do land exchanges all the time. You got to keep in mind, these guys are, they're tough, and they do a lot of them. They've got experience in them. Believe me, I know a little about it. That crew over there takes care of the state of Wyoming fully. If you don't believe it, go try to do an exchange, because they represent well. I realize it's a little different. There's some good points been made as far as development. I think the fact of the matter is, it's virtually impossible to develop these, and that would be discounted if you go into a sale. Any developer that's going to look at these is going to look at what's going to happen in Teton County as far as develop them. The other thing, let's take a look at what we really have got out of these. So in the last 100-plus years, the current lease rate's at $2,000 a year. 2,000 times 100 years. We haven't poured a whole lot of money into the trust fund. We've got a big appreciation. I live on a ranch, and, you know, on paper, it's worth a hell of a lot of money. It's not worth a whole lot until you sell it or you do something with it. And to do an exchange, the more we tie their hands, the more likely you're going to get into a bad deal, because you put someone where they can only deal in a very narrow parameter. Let's let the guys that do these exchanges, and they do literally hundreds of them a year, or over time. They do a lot of them, and they've done them well. But let's have some trust in some other people that they're going to do it right. And after all, it's appraised value to appraised value. The other thing you got to keep in mind, it's unproven minerals. You're going to get a vast swath of them, and I would hope we get the surface with it. This deal doesn't preclude surface, and we're not talking about that at all. You know, the truth is, $100 million of surface in the state of Wyoming has got great value to the state of Wyoming. We battle over it, and it changes how minerals are developed on those acres and how they're not. So, you know, let's let this go in a fashion that's fair, a fashion that's right, and not tie the hands. Get it done. And the other thing it has a one-year window on it. This isn't a forever deal. Let's get this done. Let's get these sections back into the park the way they ought to be, and they do. I'm going to tell you one of the ones I think they need to be. Let's get fair value to the state, and let's get some ground we can use and get some actual income back to us. Let's support this amendment, please.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. To remind the body that this isn't the first time it's come up, but they referenced one other time, but we actually had something working through the committee one other time. Didn't have all the parameters in place for the minerals. I suggest this is the time we move it forward. Let's give this one an opportunity. Let's move forward with this exchange, get it done so it doesn't keep coming up in various versions.
Senator Bebout for your second time.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Very briefly, when we did this a couple, 3 years ago, and they came to us with this idea, and the logic behind it makes sense, and I'm not talking about where we get $2,000 a year for a grazing lease versus the $100 million. I think we ought to do something with the land. That's not the issue here. And we went in and we set aside a deal to try to sell it to the feds, and we tried to compromise language, and guess what they did? They reneged. They didn't fulfill their obligations. If they'd have done what they said they were going to do, we had a binding contract, we wouldn't be here talking about it today. So as we move forward, why do we want to compromise getting something of real value relative to the value of that land? I mean, it's the language in here says if they're going to do minerals, then they ought to do it on a real value rather than something that's pie in the sky. That's all we're saying. We're not trying to kill the deal. And I just can't understand why we want to take a $100 million asset and trade it for something that we don't know if it'll really develop in the future or not. If that's what the body wants to do, then, yeah, you might be able to get twice or three times as much in terms of mineral acres in your mineral leases, but they may never be drilled. And knowing the feds and how they negotiate, I would say they would take you in an area where the BLM probably prohibits drilling and say, these are the minerals we're going to trade for and let you have those. So we just got to be careful here. The feds have already turned us down once. Let's be tough when we go under there and protect the state's interest.
Further discussion, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. On and against the amendment. If without the amendment, you're left with the language parcels received, and we go back to the existing bill, which has any parcels received under this act are for parcels in this section are of equal or greater value. Mr. President, you know, I just go back and look at a couple of land swaps we've had in my neck of the woods under the provisions that, without the amendment, that are in the bill. And what if the amendment passes, will we go back to that? And one of those, you know, they hired a
a good lawyer and former well-known and respected individual, and was quite a wealthy guy who had bought a ranch just east of where I live and up in the mountains. And he had this great idea that he wanted to round off his quarter sections, and we're going to trade this land of equal value. And so he was going to trade this really nice land up in the North Laramie Range for land down on the flats, a little bit of river acreage, but most land down in the flats and the prairies down towards the interstate and north towards the Platte River. Went down here. Boy, it looked like it was going to really be good. The slip board looked like they were going to approve it. And it looked like it was going forward, and everybody was thought that was such a great deal. And then it kind of got out to the public, and the hunters came out. And boy, did they come out. I remember I attended a meeting over in the oil and gas meeting. I bet we had 150 to 200 people crowded into that room. And they didn't think value for value in that circumstance was such a good trade. Now, they had the appraisers out, and they had said, you know, it's worth this, it's equal value. I mean, they had the appraiser reports, but in the eye of those hunters and sportsmen, giving away that land, that public land up in the North Army Range, wasn't worth the same. And so ultimately, they put a lot of pressure on folks, and ultimately, that one didn't happen. Another one, Mr. President, happened, that really nice mountain land, up in the North Army Range, came to the state, wanted them to buy it. Well, they didn't want to. Ultimately, the deal couldn't be done because they wanted about twice the fair market value for it. And so that deal didn't happen. So, Mr. President, what I'm worried about when you have this is I've looked at those things. I've seen it work both ways, where the state board did a really good job and turned down a bad deal because they were just asking to be paid too much or to pay too much. The other side of that, I've seen them in a situation where it had gone through on an equal value deal and it was a bad deal. Even though all the appraisers said it was equal, it was a bad deal. And the public certainly wasn't very happy about it and ultimately reversed that. But without some language that ensures that you get better than just a land swap out of this, because not all land is equal. And not all, and when appraisers look at it, Mr. President, I guess it goes back to the old saying, you know, the definition of an expert means you're more than 50 miles away from home with a briefcase. But, you know, appraisers appraise, and sometimes it seems to be good, and sometimes it seems to be not so good. But without something more than just value for value in this, which is what the amendment does, it makes sure that there's something more than just this land swap for equal value. Without some better instructions and some better criteria on that, I just don't think this is workable.
Senator Dockstader, would you like privilege of the floor?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, thank you, Mr. President. I was going to wait until after the debate, but thank you.
Just briefly, I think it's going to be a little while.
This group will have made a 900-mile round-trip ride over to Cheyenne to see how it all works. This finely dressed, above-average, good-looking group up here has come over from Star Valley to watch the process. Welcome to the Senate, please.
Welcome to the Senate, and I hope you enjoy your time here. Senator Schiffer.
Yes, Mr. President, and it was mentioned earlier that the effective time to consummate this deal was 1 year, and I've read this bill over carefully, and I'm having trouble finding that. If it's in here, can somebody show me that it is a one-year window? I don't believe it is, but, you know, I've been told it was, but I cannot find it.
Further discussion before Senator Nicholas, your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, remember, folks, we sit here in the situation as trustees for land that we have a fiduciary obligation to maximize its value. Over 100 years, our predecessors have been patient, and they're sitting on one of the finest pieces of land in the state of Wyoming. And because of their patience, we're now talking about a $100 million value. If we'd have had this discussion even 10 years ago, it might have been $50 million. 20 years ago, we might have been talking about $5 million. And patience is what returned the value. When I hear this notion of wildcatters have low investment and high yields. When was the last time a wildcatter walked in and said, here's my $100 million to, and in fact, I'd say this. Name me one person in this, in the United States who will pay $100 million for those three parcels today. One person that had an interest in paying $100 million for those three parcels. This is a presumptive bill that these three parcels are worth $100 million. Now, folks, this is not about whether or not the federal government can deliver $100 million worth of land to us in this state. They own more than half of our state. And we're here begging them to come in and give them three parcels that are unidentified. Now, what would you do if you were a mineral owner to go out and find out if there is not $100 million worth of gas, but gas that if I leased it to any one of the major companies in the state, they would pay me $100 million of royalties? Now, they'd have to, when my son was up working in Alaska, before they drill a well, they'd want to know they got 200% return on their money for every well they drilled, because they know they're going to have dry holes out there. And before they did that, they hired geologists. They went out and did seismic work. They did a tremendous amount of due diligence. And this due diligence for this bill, as far as I know, has happened over in the Herschler building by two lawyers. There's no seismic work out there. There's no geology work that I'm aware of. And no company that I'm aware of that's saying, if you guys will do this, I'll lease it and I'll turn you the equivalent of $100 million in today's dollars. So if it takes me 30 years, don't worry. You'll get $200 million. Where's the due diligence? Where's your trust responsibility? And I know the folks on the SLIP board, and as you do, there's not a geologist among them. There's not a petroleum engineer among them. And they don't have those folks on their staff. And they haven't done any seismic work. They have no idea what's under there. This is an effort by folks who really want to get rid of that parcel, begging the federal government to give us two, three little tiny parcels of the millions of acres they own in Wyoming. I mean, are we that desperate to get rid of this beautiful, valuable piece of land? I urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Mayor Meyer, second.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'm just wondering that even if we get the minerals from the federal government or whoever, are we going to be able to get by the permits, the EPA, and everybody else just to drill them? Because there's been projects in this state where the minerals were there, the companies were there, but their red tape excluded them from producing those minerals. So, you know, it's you know, if it isn't in there, it should be in there. Because if you make a deal with the government for minerals and they don't let you get on the property, you haven't got anything.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes a second time. Senator Driscoll, your second time.
Mr. President, my second and last time. I encourage you to read the bill. The argument we just heard talked about what the state land board knows and doesn't know. Go to line 13 on page 2. The Board of Land Commissioners shall obtain all necessary documentation and comparable sales to show that any parcels received under this act for the parcel specified in subsection A of this section are of equal or greater value. That empowers them to go out and get whatever they need to from mineral people. It's for minerals. Myself, personally, I hope we end up with a whole lot of surface. It tends to appreciate over time, and you can actually do something with it. But this act empowers them to do exactly what we were just talking about. We don't have to put huge sideboards on them. It tells them. It says they shall. It doesn't say they may. It says they shall. They'll go get people. You'll find what it's worth. And, you know, when you're dealing against apple in this hand, orange in this hand, and you start doing it, when you go to appraised value, it turns them to the same. It means that if it's unknown, unproven, you're probably going to have so much of it that it's absolutely scary. If it's a proven deal, it's got net value, and it's there right now. Surface is the same way. You're not going to trade 1,200 acres for 1,200 acres. You're probably going to trade 1,200 acres for a 500,000 acres or 1,000 acres. Depends where you trade it at. The whole idea of trading appraised value to appraised value is exactly that. You get today's value for today's value today. And that's exactly how it works on exchanges. They're fair to both parties. The only way they're unfair is if the party does not take a look at exactly what the thing is. So I encourage you to support this.
Senator Anderson, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. For my second time, I'd urge you to support this amendment. The equal value, of course, will be judged, and that'll be judged by lawyers and everyone else. The development will, of course, be done by geologists and engineers. One of our biggest finds in Wyoming by a wildcatter was done by a dirt contractor and an airport manager, and they relied on other people to do that work, not them. So the SLIP board has the authority to do that, but they're going to find you're going to take a $100 million asset, or call it whatever you want, a $50 million asset that's producing $2,000 per section, $4,000 a year for the school district. What we're trying to do is get a property that's going to produce a lot of money for the school district every year. And that sitting on an asset is not what you should do. That is not wealth. Because you have $100 million sitting there does not make you wealthy. It's the return of that that makes you wealthy. I urge you to vote for this amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Schiffer. Second time.
For my second time, Mr. President, thank you. And that's what troubles me, folks. When you look at this bill, and you're not going to be talking about airport managers going out and doing due diligence. You're going to be talking about geologists and people that really know the field, because you're talking about the people's money. It can't just be a hunch or two lawyers making a deal over in the Hershler building. That would be wrong. And I'm asking, where's the appropriation in this bill? There's no sunset on it, by the way, and there's sure no appropriation in it to go hire the people that can really make these kind of evaluations. This is big bucks, and it's big bucks for a long time, and this bill doesn't rise to the standard of taking care of what I believe is our responsibility for the next generation and the next generation of beneficiaries of that trust. It's just not ready yet.
Senator Christensen, to wrap this up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, I'd like you to think back about yesterday. We had a little amendment dropped on this at the spur of the moment. And this, today's amendment, talks about taking out the poison pill side of it. But the first half of yesterday's amendment, our majority floor leader and Mr. Vice President, you know, they really, in their amendment, addressed some of your concerns. And I'd take you back to yesterday's amendment in that first paragraph, the part that we're not striking. And that is, the fair market value of the parcels shall be determined using a certified appraiser for the surface mineral as well as a certified mineral appraiser, giving consideration, in today's new language, to the criteria set out in this subsection for the mineral estate. So just yesterday, our majority floor leader and our good, nice vice president, they actually answered some of the questions that you're raising about coming up with values and trying to figure things out. And I appreciated that part of it. And we're leaving that in with my amendment. Now, there were some other questions raised out here, and let's take care of a couple of the easy ones first. We're talking about deadlines. The existing bill that is in law that 28 of the 30 of us voted on 3 years ago and approved ends in 2016, in January. All this, let me tie it to the amendment. This amendment kills this in a way that we don't get to extend that for 12 months. That's the only extension. There is a deadline. There's an ending on it. But this amendment changes that whole conversation. I'd like to address the, and this will get a little strange here, but I talked about some big numbers. $260 million for a $91 million today evaluation property. Now, the way we arrived at that, and the nice vice president, he kind of brought it up and warmed it up a little bit for you. But we do get about 50% of the mineral value out there. And so in order to come up with these new values and come up with, if we're just talking minerals, trading value, we're going to have to multiply that. If we already get half of the real value, let's say if we've already got 90, we're trading for 91, we've got to come up with trade material of $182 million.
And then if you look at the discount rate of 13% over a five-year period, and you do the compounding in there, that's where we come up with $260 million in this. And it's got to be taken out in 5 years. Nobody can agree to that. The very document, when we say we want $260 million in 5 years for a $91 million appraised piece of land now, that's not fair. We wouldn't want the feds to try and do that to us. The agreement that was signed between your state land investment board by four of the five electeds, think about that, four of the five electeds signed that on just February 6th, that'd be 2 weeks ago, between the Department of Interior. They've already talked about a whole bunch of these things and are trying to lock it in. And everybody says, we don't want to screw the other guy. We just want fair for fair. Now, when I talk about that 260, I want to paint a little picture for you. If you talk about trading for roughly $260 million, that could be like trading the existing Jonah Field for two sections in Teton County. That's not fair. That's not going to get us anywhere. I'd ask you to just be aware of some of the concerns you're hearing. I have another amendment, ladies and gentlemen, and it'll come right after this. We'll go right to that. And that amendment really also addresses and strengthens the good part of the language from yesterday's amendment. And that talks, well, I'll talk about that when we get to it. At some stage, we have to trust the executive branch will do their job, including SLIB. You know, vote this up or down, but do not support a poison amendment that makes this bill unworkable and forces state government to expend valuable resources on a trade designed to, from the start, to fail. You know, the practical effect of voting no, or voting yes, voting no on my amendment, get it straight here, voting no on my amendment sets us up for the federal government to continue to occupy two of our most valuable public assets for nearly nothing. We're getting pennies on the dollar. And there is question about access. There is question about zoning. There is a number of questions, and I don't know if you follow what happens up there, but just because folks walk in with a big old pot of money doesn't necessarily carry the day up there, and it does impact land values. Voting no on this amendment jeopardizes our future efforts to transfer federal lands into state ownership, no matter how much a sense of future trade may make. This is about a trust. It's about good faith dealing. We just want to be fair. We expect them to be fair, and we're asking. We need to offer the same thing. I'd ask you to help me take this poison pill out of the amendment or out of this bill and vote yes on the amendment.
Question is, shall third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 39 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. Amendment is passed. We have another amendment. Amendment number 2 to Senate File 39. The reading clerk will read it in.
Senate File 39, third reading amendment number 2, page 1, line 3.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the body, I'd ask your favorable consideration for Senate File 39, third reading amendment number 2. On page 1, if you'll take a look at it, we're going to do a little change in here, a little cleaning up. After specified, we're going to add page 1, line 3, creating the State Land Exchange Advisory Panel, providing for panel membership and duties. And then over on page 5, line 5, we're going to insert paragraph F. And this really gets, I think, to addressing some very legitimate concerns that you heard some of your senior members, some of the leadership express. In evaluating land exchanges pursuant to this section, the Board of Land Commissioners shall consider the advice provided by the State Land Exchange Advisory Panel, which is hereby created. The State Land Exchange Advisory Panel shall be composed of two persons appointed by the Governor and one person appointed jointly by the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Persons appointed to the panel shall have expertise in mineral production, mineral development, mineral valuation, and real estate valuations. The panel shall evaluate potential land and mineral exchanges for the Grand Teton parcels and provide its evaluation and opinion to the Board of Land Commissioners before the Board authorizes any exchange for the Grand Teton parcels. And with that, I'll take questions, Mr. President.
Discussion on the amendment.
Question.
Question on the amendment. All those in favor of third reading? Oh, I'm sorry. I missed you. Senator Snedding.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd just like a quick answer. What is the fiscal impact of this amendment?
Senator Christensen, any other discussion before he takes his, tries to answer that? Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, good question. We did discuss that, played it back and forth, and it was agreed with all the parties that this could be handled without any fiscal impact.
Question is, shall third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 39 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That amendment's been adopted. Back on the bill. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, just a little bit of a reminder of this bill and the work that's gone into it. Again, 3 years ago, we stood before you, brought this same bill, and then it was just a straight sale. We were just selling land. And there was some concern about the constitutionality of selling state property like that. There was concern that we might be left holding the bag and what the economy would do and what the value of the dollar is. And we all recognize that the old maxim, you know, trade when you have to, buy when you can, but don't sell. And so this new bill really comes back and addresses concerns that were legitimate but still voted. The bill was still supported 28-2. We saw this. I'd encourage you to look at this new bill as merely a tune-up, an opportunity. If the federal government is stepping up and making substantial steps in the right direction, then they can be allowed another 11 and a half months. That's the extension we're really talking about. This is not, we're not locking in a deal. All we're doing is opening it up to an area which a significant number of this body found highly desirable, and that is, let's open the conversation to minerals, to land, to dollars, not just sell our inheritance. So I'd encourage you to support the bill.
Any further discussion? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I'm sorry, but the way I read the bill does not jibe with the comment I just heard from the sponsor of the bill. It says here, right in the title, Act Relating to State Lands, authorizing the Board of Land Commissioners to exchange certain land parcels, not to step up, not to prepare, not to do anything. That this might be the final say that this body has in the exchange of those parcels. And frankly, I see our specific parcels written here. I don't see what the federal land parcels are. And I think that's the bill that this legislature should be voting on. We should know what those federal lands are so that we can have a look at it, and we should know months in advance of this rather than just, frankly, I think I have to agree with the majority floor leader. I think we have a fiduciary duty to get the maximum value we can, and I think it's not responsible of us just to shuffle this off to the state land board and hope that we get a good deal from the feds.
Further discussion. Senator Geis.
If you want to get your money out of that, put a casino there.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. You know, speaking of casinos, Mr. President, in Article 8, Section 3, under the Board of Land Commissioners, it talks about the control, leasing, and disposal of state lands. granted, which may here be after granted for the support and benefit of public schools. So that's what we're talking about here. It says, subject to further limitations that the sale of all lands be at public auction, after such delay, not less than the time fixed by Congress, in portions and proper intervals of time at such minimum prices, not less than them, as to realize the largest possible proceeds. In addition, in Section 4, it talks about the legislature shall enact the necessary laws for the sale and disposition, leasing, care of all lands that have been or may hereafter be granted to the state and shelter, earliest practical, and so on and so forth. So that's exactly what our function is. Our function is to... The state lands investment is to get the maximum value for this land. Our job is to oversee that. And with the way this bill is and with what would happen, I don't think we've done that. And I think that when we talk about that in the end, I'm not sure that we've done what we should. We certainly haven't done it in a public auction. We certainly haven't done, I haven't heard anything that talks about this is the maximum value we get out of the land. When you look at you look at the fiduciary obligation we have as trustees of that trust fund, I don't know that we've fulfilled that duty either just by fiduciary standards or even under our own constitution.
Senator Driscoll?
Mr. President, a couple deals to go with the constitution. When the federal government gave the land to the state of Wyoming, they reserved the ability to do exactly what we're doing here. That's there. It's part of the deal. If you read the enabling part of our constitution, they reserve that right. So on that end, we can do it with the feds. It has nothing to do with our constitution because it predates. It was the terms that we were given the land under. Second, we don't have lists come here every year of all the different exchanges and oil leases and gas leases, which, by the way, they're hundreds of millions of dollars out of the state lands office. Hundreds of millions. We don't second guess what they do on all of those. We don't second-guess what they do on their other exchanges. This one's a big one, no doubt about it. But it's no different than any other one. They take their job exceptionally seriously. Anybody that's ever dealt with them knows that, if anything, you're going to feel like you've been taken to the cleaners if you deal with the state of Wyoming. Those guys are tough. If you want to trade on a piece of ground that doesn't have access to it, which is... We're not doing it that way on this one. We're doing the exact same thing. Guess what the appraisal says on the landlocked one? It will be treated as if it had access. That's the way they do them all. That's different than actual value. If you go out and sell that, you don't have access to it. You've got one of those sections out there stranded, and they're going to go fight with the federal government on how to get access to it. It won't come easy, believe me. It's a little tough to condemn access out away from the feds. This deal has potential to be a huge, great deal for Wyoming. It stays the same as it is. It's a valuable part, a scenic part, of what helps generate income for this state. It lets them stay the way they are, and it lets us realize a value out of them, a net value that's a good one. Gives us cash flow, gives us something we can use. Doesn't do a whole lot of good. Don't want a piece of ground in the middle of the neighbors if you can't get to it and do anything, and he gets to go play on it and you can't do anything with it. This allows us to get our own playground, and it gets it at value, not at a discounted value, at value. Encourage you to, let's get this done right.
Well, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the bill. Folks, first of all, when you have land, federal land that's trapped, or when you have private land that's trapped, there's a federal law that gives you access. Happens all the time. We've got clients over in our neck of the woods, and the acronym for the law is ANICLA, and it requires the federal government to give you access if that's your only access. And believe me, some developer will buy this land if you wanted to, and he would get access to his land. There are lots of folks that have in holdings in the park right now today that get access. That's nonsense. But what is true is that we've been talking the last few days about this property being appraised previously at about $91-100 million, and we authorized a sale. This bill, though, says, State Land Board, you're authorized to exchange that section for these three parcels. And all you've got to do is justify it on paper. And for the reasons that the folks have talked about here, it would be easy enough to go get an appraisal tomorrow for that property in Yellowstone Park for
$20 million, $30 million, and then go out and get an appraisal for the other three parcels here with the minerals at $20 or $30 million. You know, we make all these assumptions that we sit here today as though it's worth $100 million. And we've seen appraisals that appraise other property. From my knowledge, the parkland has never been appraised yet. We know of other sales in that area for the price that we've talked about. And I'll tell you, there's no worse feeling waking up one morning and finding out that you sold a $5 million piece of property and somebody else turned around and got $45 million. Actually, there is a worse feeling. You find out that an appraiser came in and decided this property is only worth $20 million, and you got $20 million worth of gas that nobody's has done a single core drill, not a single seismograph, and then your kids come along and find out they can't even get the minerals out of there. And then you go to your slip board and you said, what did you do? And they said, what do you mean, what did we do? Well, you told us to go do it. This bill told us that you approved of it. This bill is an authorization to trade one parcel for three others. And all you got to do is find some appraiser to match up the values and launch. I urge you to vote no.
Senator Perkins. Just to correct, Senator said that to the assertion that these are not lands that are covered by the Constitution, I would refer you to Article 18, Section 1. Acceptance of lands to the United States, sale of such lands. The state of Wyoming hereby agrees to accept the grants of lands heretofore made or that may hereafter be made by the United States to the state for educational purposes, public buildings and institutions, and for their other objects and donations of money, so on and so forth. And then again it says, such lands shall be disposed of only at public auction to the highest responsible bidder after having been duly appraised by the land commissioners.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Senator Christensen. For your second time.
For the last time, thank you, Mr. President. Just to clear up a couple of things that are being pushed around here. We've been hearing a lot about the three parcels. Ladies and gentlemen, there were four parcels in the original bill. Two of them have been closed on. The feds kept their end of the bargain. There are only two remaining. They're not three parcels. To answer the concerns from the senator from Landopolo, there is an amendment, a committee amendment, that specifies, I think goes right to it, as he referred to the bill that said it's only a parcel-to-parcel trade, there's a committee amendment that came out of it that says, the board may accept a combination of cash and title to a parcel or combination of parcels if the total value of the cash of the parcels is of equal or greater value as specified under this section. And then it also goes on and defines parcels as minerals, the mineral estate and the surface. And so that is covered also. As far as... We've heard a lot about a sale that took place up there a few years ago. And you know what? That was a public auction. That was a public auction. And when you put state land at risk at public auction, it's not like running a private show. When you see real estate folks run a private auction, they build in safeguards. They're checking to see who's showing up in the room. They're doing all kinds of things. When the government puts up an auction, it's out there. It's fully at risk. And so... law that stands today, we still have until January of 2016 that they can come in and buy this at $91 million. This bill changes that now we have the opportunity, and it has to be agreed on by SLIB, and with this new amendment that strengthens it, that committee of experts, that they can look at it to see if they can come up with a better deal. We're not locked into a low cash out price. Remember, there's also a safeguard in there that if the appraisal comes in low, we have an automatic out if SLIB so chooses.
This thing is working every which direction for SLIB, for the state, for the kids, for the schools, you name it. The other thing about it, I don't want you to miss it, is in the agreement between SLIB and the Department of Interior that any comparisons that are done, any lands that are factored in, also then come into play for future land trades or swaps. There are many different opportunities for Wyoming to win in this. This bill is not a signed contract, ladies and gentlemen. This bill merely gives Wyoming more options, more opportunities to win. And we've put a number of safeguards in it, both from the majority floor leader and vice president yesterday to the amendment we just added today. I would strongly encourage you to support this. One of the things we've been focusing on, and I want to talk just, if we take it back to the mineral conversation, we're talking about minerals for dollars, and we're stopping it right there. Well, that isn't where it stops. If we sell the land, it stops dollar for dollar. But if we get involved in minerals, for example, that extends. That can create millions of dollars in jobs, in paychecks. We all talk about taking home the bacon, providing jobs for Wyoming. This may be one of the biggest job bills, actually, that we've ever dealt with here. We're trading $100 million, as it's estimated today, and creating jobs. There's that possibility. There's another possibility out there that has to do with jobs and agriculture. And that is we're under attack on the delisting or on the listing of endangered species. There may be an opportunity when they're looking at this to come up with a formula that might help address some of the federal concerns on that. And so the language is not an accident. It's not a mistake. It was carefully written to give SLIB the best opportunity to do the best job for Wyoming with lands that have been dedicated by our forefathers in protecting and enhancing education for Wyoming's children. I'd encourage you to support this bill.
Question is, shall Senate File 39 pass the Senate? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case. Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
no.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
no.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Ross,
no.
Closing vote, closing vote closed, 18 ayes, 12 noes.
Senate File 39 has received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the Senate, and Senate File 39 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 2 p.m.
Stand in recess?
I like the adjournment more after that one. Let's do a recess.
Announcements. Any announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m.